Good to see everyone this morning. Certainly good to be here myself. I'd invite you to turn over to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. There's, of the many Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, there's one that is the chief of all. And that's what I'd like for us to consider this morning. It's really the first proverb, if you can call it a proverb. It's really the first that's mentioned in the book. But what I'd like to do before we get to that is get a little bit of an understanding of what all we're reading here. And if we're going to go home and read the book of Proverbs on our own to understand what this book is all about. You know, it's interesting that Solomon, he wrote so many Proverbs. And we know he wrote and he spoke so many things. His wisdom was given to him by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he had these abilities, but yet when we read the book of Proverbs, we realize we're only getting a small chunk, all right? We're getting a small piece of the things that Solomon had actually said in his lifetime, the things that he even wrote down. And so of the few things here that we really have from Solomon, we have to raise the question, why? Why these things? Why this book? What about the inclusion of all the other proverbs that he had in his life? What is this book all about? And when we start to ask questions like that, we begin to realize that this book is not what we might have thought it was. This book is not just thoughtful, uncategorized, just a shotgun explosion of proverbs. Here, there, just little tidbits of wisdom, and just whatever Solomon was thinking of that day or something, he just pinned it down and there's this compilation of these words of wisdom. If we think the book of Proverbs is that way, we've got it all wrong. Everything about this book is intentional. Everything about this book is built for a single purpose. And we need to read the book with purpose and read it with the original purpose in mind. I think it will be all the more beneficial. And truly, this is one of the most beneficial books for our everyday life as Christians. The applications here are absolutely tremendous as we read through this book. And as we'll see, whether we're young, whether we're old, or somewhere in between, this book is for us. And this book will greatly improve our life. It will improve our relationships. It will improve how others look at us and consider us. And it will improve our relationship with God, most importantly. But it would certainly have an effect and a bearing on how the world would look at us. And that should be one of the most important things in our life. And something that we should consider each and every day is, how does the world look at me? How is my behavior and my words? How is my mood? Because the world is watching. And how is this going to affect Christ that I'm representing? So Proverbs doesn't begin with Proverbs, all right? It begins with, this is why the book of Proverbs is here. It begins with a purpose. In verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So verses 2 through 6, Solomon writes down first, before we hear even a single proverb, he says, this is what this book is to accomplish in your life. This is why these things have been pinned down. And so we're going to just go through these things, somewhat quickly, but there's a lot of information here. But we'll just kind of go through and understand why this book is here and what effect it should have on our life. First of all, it's called the Proverbs, which you might be familiar with this, but the English word proverb, you know, comes from two Latin words, pro, which means for, and verba, which means words. So the idea of a proverb is something that is very brief, used for many words. All right, so one little sentence that really speaks volumes. One little sentence that you could write a whole book on. There's a great deal of wisdom in such a small, brief saying. And that's what we see a lot here in the book of Proverbs, is a lot of just one sentence little sayings of wisdom that if we sit there, we can dwell on it, and we could just pick one proverb, or if we're just going to read all the way through, we can just pick one proverb as we're going along each and every day, and, you know, we can spend our day contemplating it, because it represents so much more than just the few words that were written. All right? It goes so much deeper than just the few words that are written. That's what a proverb is. Now, if we read through the book of Proverbs, we'll also notice that some of these proverbs are not so brief. All right? Some of them are quite lengthy. And that's when we have to call into question the original Hebrew word that Solomon uses here. The Hebrew word translated proverb is much more general than the English word proverb. And it speaks of sayings that are both short and long, okay? Wisdom that is written in short or in long or length is the Hebrew idea here. And you'll see a mixture of both in the book of Proverbs. So that's what these are, these proverbs. Now, he tells us the reason for the ones that he has selected to pin down in this particular book. These proverbs that you'll find here in this book were written for us, he begins verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction and understand words of insight. Now, what I'll do here briefly is on the board, I'm just going to put up different things, you know, that I've collected from just looking up the Hebrew words here. So I'm not going to spend my time trying to pronounce Hebrew words. I'm just going to skip over all that. But just put up some different kind of definitions here of these words that he's using. Because he uses a lot of words, and they're all a little bit different. But they're all along the same line. So the purpose of this book is for us to be able to see wisdom, you know. And by wisdom, he means by definition that this ability that one would have to be able to make discernments and to make proper judgments in life, to be able to ascertain what is true and what is right versus something that is false or wrong or a path that we should not be able to lead. It is this ability of discretion in life which sometimes people in the world have it, worldly discretion anyway, and other times you notice they do not. And unfortunately, this seeps into the church as well. And we've got to be on guard with this. We've got to be watchful ourselves. We have to live as people with discretion. You know, we have to watch our tongues. We have to watch our mouths. We have to watch our behavior. We have to watch the way that our countenance looks, you know, to other people. Because the countenance can speak many words itself, you know. So even if we're not saying the things that are on our minds, we could very well be portraying it in our mood, behavior, and countenance. But it goes even beyond that. Discretion goes to the idea of knowing how to act in situations, knowing, you know, what choices to make in life. There's all kinds of right ways to do something. There's all kinds of wrong ways to do things. Of course, there's always options of temptation and to sin in life. And so true wisdom, not considering wisdom of the world, but true godly wisdom. Okay, that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, is going to show us how to do these things. So the purpose of this book is to give us an education on how to make proper discernment in our life. Now that right there is invaluable, isn't it? I mean, that makes the book of Proverbs not just a fun little book of sayings, okay, but a book to lean on, a book to rely on in our life. This is an education from God, from heaven, for us to be wise people. And as Christians, that should be first on our list to be able to be this kind of person. He also talks about not just knowing wisdom, but he says knowing instruction. You know, by definition here, discipline and training. Being a disciplined person. Being someone who's trained. You know, you can always tell whether in secular things or whether in godly things, you can always tell the difference between someone who's trained versus someone who's not been trained. You know, when you go to secular jobs and work, you see someone who has really lived by their training, you know, someone who's really worked to be disciplined at what they do versus someone who doesn't. In the realm of the church, we find this as well. And there, of course, we're all at different levels and all at different stages of growth. I'm not talking about that. But what I am concerned with is not the fact that some of us have been Christians for 20 years and some, you know, 20 months. That's not the issue. Again, the issue is, how are we really utilizing our training in Christ? And are we really concerned about being disciplined in our Christianity, in living for Christ? Do we consider it our discipline and our training and our education and something that we are really working on? Or is it something of which we are really of the mindset that this is just something we do a couple hours of the week? We need to be mindful of that. The book of Proverbs is built in such a way to show us that this life, living for God, is not just something we do on Sunday mornings, but it is who we are. This is what we know, and this is how we see things and how we see the world. This is how we act. He goes further to explain, again, his purpose for writing these things in verse 3 verse 2, to understand words of insight, okay? Understand or perceive, depending on the English translation you're reading. And so to be able to have this mental separation is invaluable for us in our life of what is a word of understanding and what is words of not understanding, all right? Or words of misunderstanding, okay? We live in a world filled with information of misunderstanding. So it's very important that we can separate mentally in our minds what's understanding and what's misunderstanding, all right? And that will greatly benefit us as Christians especially when we hear all kinds of things out there in the world, and especially when it that pertain to God and religion and the church. You know, the amount of false doctrine far exceeds the amount of true doctrine, okay? So we need to be able to make a mental separation when we hear things. Same thing goes with this pulpit here. You know, we all need to be able to make a mental separation about what is said, because whoever is up here and whatever words are proceeding out of their mouths, we know is coming from a man. Are we speaking words of understanding, or have things been misunderstood? And to have that ability to mentally separate understanding from misunderstanding, again, is going to be invaluable for us. And the book of Proverbs is going to give us an education on that. It's going to help us along that path. As he continues there in verse 3, the idea of receiving instruction in wise dealing or in wisdom. Now, when you look at this word wisdom, this is the second time it looks like he's used that word. But in reality of the Hebrew, it's not. This is a completely different word in Hebrew that is often translated wisdom here in this text. So the definition is a little bit different. Here he's talking about the idea of being a circumspect person, okay? That idea of living on a circumference. The concept of a circle, a circumference, is the idea of one who is able to see the whole. Not just a little bit, you know, not just what's right in front of them, but they have the ability to see it all, you know. They can see the pros and cons of things. They can see the reality. This is so important. Paul told the Ephesians, this is what you need to have. He told them in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, you need to walk circumspectly, he says. Not as fools, but as wise. See, he's pointing to what Solomon's talking about here. Wisdom is the ability to walk circumspectly. When temptation comes our way, and you know, we just fall right into the pit, you know, and you know, we might climb out of the pit and look back and think, you know, how ridiculous, you know, why did I do that? Why did I mess up like that? I just fell right into the pit. Oh, it's because we weren't walking circumspectly. Someone who walks circumspectly, they see the whole situation. So they don't just see what is right before them, that temptation there. They can also realize everything else that's going on here. They recognize what that temptation will do to us, what that temptation will do to our relationship with God and Christ and the church. And how what effects this can have. And people get into some really big sins, you know. And what I mean by big sins is not in terms of spiritually, because there's really no such thing as a lesser sin. But I mean big sins in terms of this world, things that can really destroy lives, things that can destroy families. We all know these things. Well, again, the ability to walk circumspectly so that we can step aside, we can realize how destructive that temptation is, that sin is, and we step aside. We can see where we're going, and we cannot fall into the pit of disaster. It's interesting that this word can be defined as intelligence, right? Why? Because giving in to temptation is foolishness. Foolishness. So to live in purity, it demands intelligence. And intelligence demands an education, a spiritual education. Okay? And that's what Solomon says. This is what it's all about. This is the book. All right? This book will give you the intelligence you need to be able to live your life this way. He says also that this book is an instruction in justice. Okay? Or literally speaking, he's referring to righteousness. But even still, when we read through the book of Proverbs, we can see the justice, all right, even on a secular level. And people will see one who lives by this book. People out in the world, and they recognize the kind of fairness, the kind of justice that this person has. You know, that's one thing that was so profound about Solomon that the world really took notice was, you know, how fair he was, how he was able to execute justice. You know, remember that individual, you know, the two women, you know, with the one baby, you know, who's the real mother? You know, and you see how Solomon was able to execute justice in that situation. Or the Queen of Sheba, when she came and she sat down and heard Solomon with her own ears for the first time, you know, she was so impressed by how just he was, you know, how fair. But this book will provide us with that. It'll provide us with the ability to make the right judgments in life and to live in equity, okay? Straightness, evenness. Again, going to the idea of fairness. So he's pointing out all of these things. He's not saying, you know, here, I'm going to give you all these proverbs and you're just going to have to guess what I intend for you to use with them. No. He lays it all down the line, and he doesn't leave anything out here, as we're noticing. He's going straight down. He says that this book would give to the simple prudence. All right? The ability to notice small distinctions in things. Right? And how important is that in our life? Again, you know, going back to the example of false religion, we can hear individuals. You know, sometimes I turn on the radio or the TV every once in a while. Of course, I can get really mad about these things, but you know, I might you know, turn on TV or something. You know, listen to one of these preachers, and they might say a whole lot of things that I completely agree with. But then there's this or that. That's not right. And so that was something, you know, that was told to me, I remember, you know, at a very young age. And when I first started preaching, and you know, it's a whole new world, and there is a lot to learn. And so I was just diving in, and you know, with all kinds of books and listening to all kinds of sermons. You know, some of them not from sound preachers. And you know, that's what I was approached with, as I was told. Look, you know, these lessons, there might be 90% of it that's true, but it's the 10% that will destroy you. Small distinctions. The ability to emphasize small distinctions. We've got to nail that down in our life. We're going to be successful as a Christian. But he also points out that this book is for not just the simple, it's also for the young. And to the young, it's going to provide knowledge and discretion. By discretion, he means it will provide them with a plan. Right? We see that focus nowadays, don't we? Everybody's got to have a plan. All young folk have got to have a plan. If And if you don't have your plan ready by the time you graduate high school, you know, shame on you, because you need to have your life plotted out. Well, whether that's good for you or not, I that's none of my concern. What is my concern is that we do need to have a plan as far as being a Christian. We need to have a plan in the way in which we are going to live our life for God. We're not just flying by here and just, you know, trying to do things kind of the best that we can, you know, off the cuff. It's not like that at all. We are to be disciplined individuals, to know what to do in situations, to know what to say. Do we have a plan? Didn't Peter tell us that? You know, when Peter wrote his epistle, he said, you need to have a plan. If you're a Christian, you need to have a plan to know what you're going to say when someone asks you about your faith in Christ. Didn't he tell us that? Do we have a plan? Do we know what we're going to say? Are we going to stumble and stutter and trip and fall all over ourselves when someone asks us, you know, of our faith in Christ? When someone inquires about spiritual things? You know, if we stumble in a situation like that, I really think it's because we just didn't have a plan, you know. I'm a stuttery person. I really am, you know. I understand those kinds of things. But our lives be a whole lot easier if we sat down with discipline and we made these kinds of plans. We need to have a plan for temptation. You can't have temptation come your way and just, you know, you're going to make a decision here, you know, when it happens, I got to make the decision. No, we can plan ahead. We can plan ahead to make sure we're watching circumspectly for the exit, you know, of that temptation, so that we don't stumble and fall. But he goes even further and he says that this book is also to the wise. Because if we are wise, the one thing that a wise person knows is that they need to increase in wisdom. All right? Now, someone who is young or someone who is foolish, that's probably not what's on their mind. They might think they got everything wrapped up pretty well. They've got it all together. But the wise person knows that they need to gain wisdom. And Solomon says these proverbs will increase learning to the wise, and it will give them, in Hebrew, steersmanship. All right? The ability to perfectly and beautifully and gracefully steer that boat. And that's kind of hard to do. You know, back in those days, they didn't have motors either, did they? They didn't have motors. They relied on a paddle, and they relied on the wind, all right? Steersmanship. And so the ability to properly bring a boat to a destination, this idea is the same matter. Now, what happens when the wind shifts and the wind changes direction? Well, you got to have steersmanship to be able to make those corrections and those changes. Now, what happens if that calm day turns into a storm? You have to have the steersmanship to safely get to your destination. So, for us as human beings, for us as Christians, how valuable is this information to us? to be able to weather the storms of life, to be able to weather the winds, you know, big or small, to be able to handle the situations in life, Solomon says, this is what this book is all about. And he finishes this all out with saying that this book will cause us to understand proverbs and enigmas and riddles, or some say dark sayings. Of course, dark sayings, that kind of sounds negative, you know, but that's not what he means. Dark as in, you know, deep sayings, puzzling things, these things are going to help us be able to just handle and manage life, and anything that's thrown our way will be able to function properly and godly. So, with that all in mind, let's get here to verse 7, and we'll talk about this for just a moment, and the lesson will be yours. But here it is. This is the chiefest of them all. In verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, we pretty well know what he means by fear. You know, by definition, it is to be in awe, to revere something as awesome, as terrifying. It is the utmost of respect that we would have. But it's not just respect, you know. It is a notch. It really is a notch higher than respect. And so he's pointing out here that our the way we look at God, the way we consider God and the way that we respond to God in our life is the first thing that we need to be thinking about in life. He says this is the beginning. This is the first thing. Now, for a lot of folks, it's not the first thing, is it? You know, it can be any number of things in life. That's the first thing on their mind. But what he's talking about, someone who is wise, the first thing on their mind is fearing the Lord. They realize that this is going to provide them with the most success in their life. This is going to bring so much good fruit. This is going to have everlasting circumstances that are great and joyful. This is going to carry us through so many, you know, potholes and stumbling blocks. This will keep us out of a whole heap of worldly trouble. To revere the Lord, to revere His Word, to revere who He is in our life, and to respond accordingly. Solomon says this should be the first place in our life. The first order of business in our life is to make sure that we fear the Lord our God. That is the chief or the principal thing in life. I'd like to close with just a simple reading here of a few pages back, Psalm 111, just to give us an illustration, an idea of what this is all about. Because Psalm 11 is the perfect example of this proverb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or of knowledge. And you see here in this short psalm, Psalm 111, that this psalmist is living by this proverb, is living by this wisdom. God is first. God is everything. And he points that out, that to live by Him and to fear Him causes great life and causes great delight. In verse 1, he says, "Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever." He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Isn't that just a great example? This is a man, what he writes here, this is a man who is living his life in the fear of the Lord. He contemplates the wondrous works of God. He contemplates the power, the authority of the Almighty God. He contemplates the covenant that God has issued forth, the law. And he studies it and he delights in it because he knows that first things first, this is it. I must fear the Lord. And Solomon points out here in the proverb, as well as the very last verse of Psalm 111, the psalmist pointed it out too. This is the beginning of knowledge. This should be the first aspect of our knowledge and wisdom in life. Without this, we have no foundation. Without this, we have no direction. We have no discretion. Without this, we stumble, we fall, we get into trouble, we get into sin, and we end up in hell. Without this, we have nothing. This is first, to fear the Lord. If you've yet to do that in your life, then we ask you to respond to the gospel in repentance of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Savior, and be baptized. Have your sins washed away so that you can follow Him and walk in the fear of the Lord, living in wisdom, living, having your priorities right, having the right plan for your life, your plan looking into eternity. If that describes your need, then won't you please come forward while together we stand and sing.